Welcome to Comadres y Comics.
Comadres y Comics is a podcast hosted by three Latina women.
We highlight the Latinx presence in the comic book industry as creators, characters, and fans.
Join us as we talk chisme, comics, fandom, and beer.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of Comadres y Comics. This is episode 184 and we're your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jay.
I'm Jen.
And so it begins. Anyway, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed our trying to be out and about in the wilderness with our microphone and a computer recording a live episode for Comadres y Comics. The reason we did that was because a lot of people were asking if we were going to do a live recording in Modesto or any other of the locations that we go to. The constant question is, are you guys going to do a live episode? And the answer to that was last episode because the audio was so bad. But if you stuck around and heard it, we really appreciate it. We did a recap of WonderCon 2023. So I guess we won't be live recording until we figure out how to get a good audio quality out in the jungle, out in the people places. out in the jungle. But anyway, let's get things started. I have chisme de la semana, so it's time for chisme de la semana. And I have some good chisme, guys. Well, I'm sure everybody knows this chisme, so it's hardly chisme.
I didn't know it until today, actually.
Yeah, the Miss Marvel.
Maybe you're going to be enlightening somebody.
Let's wait. What chisme?
Miss Marvel's trailer popped out today, and it had a back.
It's not Miss Marvel.
No, I said the Marvels. I'm sorry. Did I say Miss Marvel?
You said Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
I'm already screwing it up. Uh-huh. It's the Marvels or the Marvels. Uh-huh. But yes, the trailer just came out. Turns out this movie is going to drop November 2023. So later on this year or at the end of the year, however you like to see things. But yes, they had a backdrop of the Beastie Boys Intergalactic. And I thought that was pretty cool because I did not know
this.
Oh,
that is cool.
But apparently it's really hard to get the rights to a Beastie Boys song in any movie except for Sabotage. So I was kind of interested to see that, oh, wow, they're actually giving the rights to use their song on a movie. And this is, they're going to star Monica Rambeau, Carol Danvers, and Kamala Khan. And let me tell you, Kamala Khan is stealing the show for me just in that one trailer. She is just so adorable and just so excited to be a part of this group. Apparently, there's an entanglement between their powers. So it makes for a lot of kind of like a kind of a comedy kind of relief in it. So I'm pretty excited about that. I don't know much about the villains in the movie, but so far I know Nick Fury is going to be in it. So I'm pretty excited. And there's a bunch of cats, guys. There's a bunch of cats. So that is my chisme. All right, guys, it's now time for On My Radar. Kristen, what is on your radar?
So On My Radar this week is a number one by Boom Studios. And when I first read the synopsis for this book, it sounded super interesting. And the book is called The Seasons Have Teeth. And it's going, a brand new 4-issue horror series. I know you guys are like, does this girl read anything else but horror? And the answer is no. So this is a 4-issue horror series from Homesick Pilots writer Dan Waters. And the artist actually is the same artist, Sebastian Cabrol, who drew Anthony Bourdain's Hungry Ghosts. And so this is a book about seasons actually having form. So in a drab, colorless world, the seasons bring change. Andrew, the main character of this book, is a retired conflict photographer living in a life steeped in regret, pain, and sorrow. When the seasons arrive, each one is embodied as a powerful godlike creature, and everything for Andrew begins to change. As he risks everything to track down spring, summer, autumn, and winter, he can't help but hope that capturing the perfect picture of each will help him find his redemption and maybe, just maybe, bring color back into his world. So on our Tuesday Night Live show for Heidi Ho, Eddie read this book, and I wanted to, and I didn't get around to it, but he was showing pictures and talking about it, and the art is just amazing. Each embodiment of each season is just like this very beautiful, but also creepy and just very like haunting portrayal of what the seasons would look like as a creature. And apparently every time a season comes in this town, and I didn't, the story isn't specific of, is this just this town that that's happening in, or is it all towns? Where at this point we don't know, but I believe the first one is spring that comes, and the creature is like beautifully drawn and colored, but also just so creepy. And so when this happens, the people who live in this town already know that it's going to happen. So they all leave. But this story introduces us to Andrew, who is just like, no, I'm not leaving this time. And, he goes out on a, mission to try to photograph the seasons. And in being out in the town with everyone else gone, he realizes that there's a group of teenagers who have also stayed, but they have stayed because for some reason they think it's a good idea to basically goad the seasons and be like, hey, like, you know, come and get us type thing.
Oh, no.
So there's a lot of craziness in the story going on, but it is just so beautifully drawn. And the story itself was very, it sounded like it was just very enthralling and made me, I didn't even read it, but the way that Eddie talked about it, put it on my radar and made me want to read it. So I'm going to have to go back and check out The Seasons Have Teeth, number one of this 4-issue miniseries.
That sounds amazing.
That sounds really, really cool. Very Princess Mononoke.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. the forest god, he's like cool and awesome, but he's also freaky, like really freaky. And so that when you said that, that's kind of what I pictured, but for like different seasons and different aspects. So I 100% also super interested in this series as well. It sounds really, really cool.
All right, guys, it's that time again, but no, no, it's not. It's with a sad heart that I come to you today. No hora de la cervecita. And we're here because of Jen, and I will let
it's
her tell the story.
It's not my fault.
What happened, Jen?
It's not my fault. It was the riverbank swell. Okay, basically, I am recovering from a concussion. I got the concussion on Easter Sunday, but I didn't develop signs until Monday because, news alert, sometimes symptoms of a concussion don't develop until 1 to 2 days later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really dangerous because if you don't know you have a concussion, you're doing all the things you're not supposed to be doing with a concussion.
Yeah.
And it could really make it worse.
Yeah, it really could. So I basically ate shit on my bike on the Guadalupe River Trail Bank here in San Jose. And it was very likely that I would have ended up in the riverbank as well. And I didn't realize I had the concussion because I went to the ER and everything. And they were like asking me like, oh, like, does your head hurt? Did you hit your head? And I had no recollection of ever hitting my head. I thought I had like kind of like, you know, done the tuck and roll thing and like protecting my head pretty well. But it wasn't until Monday in the evening after I came back from classes and it was like a pretty warm day that I realized that, one, I was super dizzy, I was super nauseous, and I was very close to passing out.
Oh my
God. Then I still had to go and walk to the clinic to the doctor. And once I got there, I was like basically the dazed and confused. And they had to help me upstairs to the clinic, and then the doctor said, like, yeah, you have a mild concussion. It's not, it is only mild because you haven't passed out. I'd be more worried if you actually passed out, but you do have a mild concussion. And I was just like, okay, cool. And so for a week, I can't drink alcohol. I can't eat, I can only eat bland foods. No ice cream for some reason. And she was just like, just none of that stuff. And I'm just like, okay, Cool.
Do you think that the ice cream is due to brain freeze?
Maybe. I have no idea. But somehow messes with your capillaries.
Yeah, probably. Just anything that would agitate my brain. She was just like, no. And even like going to class, she was just like, you can go to class, but probably going to be really tired afterwards. And I was just like, that's fine. I need to go to class anyways. So that is.
Wow.
Just for this week.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you the answer. It says, oh, any foods containing saturated fats and processed sugar should be avoided, as they can obstruct BDNF, whatever that is, and reduce neuroplasticity, which are the things you want to encourage during concussion recovery.
Uh-oh.
Some foods that contain high amounts of saturated fats and sugars are dairy products, and then and it goes on to a long list of things. So that's very interesting. There's apparently some science behind what the doctor told you. Imagine that.
Wow. What, science? Incredible.
What is this? Science?
So those I probably shouldn't have eaten those Starburst candies that I ate because I wanted to feel some joy. Damn it.
Just one.
Okay.
But it'd be nice if they told you why not to do it, you know?
Yeah, or else I'm just like, oh, okay.
They just want to suck the joy out of your life.
Anyways, yeah. Sorry, you guys. No beer review because Jen has a concussion.
Well, we were very happy you didn't die. Like, and also, did your bike actually, like, was it rescued or did it actually just go into the river?
It was like, yeah, like, I think it just like barely ended up in the river because the fire department, as the paramedics were carrying me away, they were like, we'll have your bike at the fire department. We'll keep it there for you. And I like vaguely recall it. And I'm just like, oh, girl, that's so nice of them.
Oh,
but
my
yeah,
goodness.
Apparently they were able to fetch it out of there.
Wow, that's quite a story.
Yeah.
I have this very animated picture in my head of Jen just flying down a hill. And like with her describing herself, throwing herself from the bike and the bike just continuing over the ledge into the bank. Riverbank. I'm just like that's all I can picture in my head right now. And we are very happy that you had the wherewithal to throw yourself. I always see that in movies, and I'm like, would I be able to do that? When they're like, jump from the car or the moving train or whatever. Like, I think I would be too chicken to do it. But I'm glad that you weren't, and that you saved yourself.
Yeah, I mean, when I think about like. How I was able to do that, I was just thinking like, oh, I don't want to end up in the river. Like, because that's what, like, the immediate, like, I immediately knew as soon when my brakes didn't, like, slow me down at all. Like, I could see perfectly the trajectory of, like, if I stayed on the bike and kept going, I would have either, like, went, like, ass over tea kettle and still ended up in the river, mm-hmm. or just straight into the river.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, I don't want to end up in that nasty ass city river. So I was like,
eek. What is the river narrow enough that if you just would have pedaled faster, you just would have gone right over to the other end?
No. The river was actually pretty well. It was flowing because usually, I mean, over I had seen it before and it had been kind of dry. Because of the drought.
Yeah.
But it hasn't, like, it increased in size when it started raining.
Yeah.
And it, like, hasn't decreased at all. So it was actually flowing, mm-hmm. like, pretty, like, strongly. And it smelled bad. It was like
Ooh.
The LA River.
Ooh.
Yeah, but it's, yeah. like, I guess it's kind of, like, it's, like, a natural river that cuts through San Jose.
Mm.
But it has been kind of, like, controlled and, like, in a way that it's kind of like hidden a little bit, and most of the water goes down there. But yeah, it's like nasty.
Well, we're glad you didn't die.
Thank you.
Absolutely. When I fell off my bike, my brakes actually worked, so I actually ended up the trajectory just threw me over the handlebars, and then the worst thing was I had chicken in my basket, and the chicken flew, and then that was my dinner, and. The worst part, I think, was that there were several good-looking men that saw it. And so I was in my scrubs, and all I can think about is, oh, my God, my gut flap just flapped over my pants. Let me pull that shit up while they were trying to help me. So I totally get when, you know, there's a lot of people watching you.
Oh, yeah.
Watching this disaster happen. And then, you know, you're in pain, but you're embarrassed.
It was Easter. So
yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. There was people on the trail, which was good for me because I think I might have passed out if I had like stayed there. Mm-hmm. But also like some people tried to help me. And I basically, when they like lifted up my arm, I kind of like screamed. It hurt a lot. And I found out later in the ER, once they took the x-rays, that it did almost, my shoulder did almost separate.
Ooh, oh my God.
Yeah. Like on a scale of like 1 to 10, with 10 being separated, I was on a 9. Like my shoulder is still attached, but we're cutting it close.
Yeah.
Girl.
Oh my goodness. No. You're lucky you're young, because you still have some healing factor.
I might as well take all these injuries while I'm still young.
Yeah.
The older you get, the worse it gets. It takes you forever to heal.
Absolutely. When I fall on all of my trips, I'm always like, everybody's like, let me help you up. And I'm embarrassed beyond belief. But mostly I say, just leave me here for a moment. Hold on. Like, I'd say it like that because I'm holding on to my breath. I'm like, hold on. Let me roll over. Hold on. Okay. Because it's so painful. Like, you can't just jump up, or you can't just like have somebody help you up. You got to kind of roll out of it. That's what she said. But anyways, I am more than happy to not have the Hora de la Cervecita. We're here in solidarity with you, and we're just glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
All right, guys, it's now time for our book review. What are we reviewing today?
Today, we are reviewing Washington's Gay General. It's written by Josh Trujillo and illustrated by Levi Hastings. And I'm going to read the little synopsis on the back. It says, immigrant, homosexual, all-around badass. At a time when American forces were desperate and struggling to find experienced leadership, Baron Wilhelm von Steuben helped turn the tide of the American Revolution and bring victory to a new nation. But his pioneering life as an open homosexual in an age when such a thing was met with ridicule, exile, or worse, is often dismissed by history. Until now. So we picked up this little jewel at WonderCon when we stopped by Josh Trujillo's table in Artist Alley. And we're super excited to hear about his upcoming project when Jen asked him about what he had in the works. And he was very excited to talk to us about this book, Washington's Gay General. Now, what we have in our hands right now is just a very short, small, like kind of preview of what we are going to get in, I believe, June, is when the whole entire book is going to be coming out. I think that's what he mentioned. And so we could not wait to read it. And now I cannot wait to see the actual book when it comes out, because this is super, super interesting to me. And the things I learn about history while we read comic books, like, it's so ironic. Like, I've learned more about history reading comics than I ever did in school.
Absolutely. Yes.
Honestly. Because the medium of the comic is more engaging, I think, both visually and how it's kind of made, because it's supposed to be kind of in an action sequence, whether the action is actual action or just in movement as well. So when I asked Josh, he said that it was picked up by Abrams and it's going to be coming out August 22nd.
Okay.
But it should be available to pre-order by now.
Yeah, so I wonder, Abrams, I wonder if it'll ever come out on Diamond as a distributor. So hopefully it does.
I think it would, yes. Yeah. Well, it was first published on the Nib. The Nib is a publisher of political cartoons and nonfiction comics about what's going down in the world. Founded in 2013 by Matt Boers, a two-time Pulitzer Prize finalist in political cartooning. So you can actually subscribe to The Nib online and receive notifications, newsletters via email, which we are subscribed to. I don't know if you guys noticed on our Comadres y Comics email. But yes, it's spectacular for him to have something, a book like this from an online cartoon, for us to get introduced to this general. And I was just like super excited as I kept reading. I mean, it's a small, I think a small kind of like taste of what's to come in the book coming out. But I was just super impressed with him. I want to know more is what I'm trying to say. I mean, it just, I don't know. Even the cartooning was really great. I thought just like the facial expressions on the general as he's being wounded and then being prisoner and then going to war again. And it's just really great. And then even the scenes where he is kind of portrayed with his partners, I think that was cool. And how I really like how part of it, like, you know, when they say, oh, the la tía or our aunt is living with a friend. It's not a friend. Yeah, like when you say, oh yeah, my aunt is living with her friend, they're roommates.
Oh my god,
they're not roommates.
One of my favorite videos on the internet. But yeah, I really like, for such a short kind of simple book, the language in it was really, really, like, I really liked it. I like how matter of fact it was, how very kind of like joking but also kind of acerbic and sarcastic it was as well. Especially like the juxtaposition between Steven and then his like younger compatriots on the last page. Yes.
His adopted sons.
Yeah. Anyway, I really did like the message that they had here towards the end, that our understanding of sexuality and love are different than in the 18th century. And that the fact that queerness, as we understand it, is hidden a lot by historians because they don't want to, like, throw that into the common narrative as well. But, like, queer people have been here. Maybe not as we understand them now, but they've been here. They've always been here. Like, this isn't new. This isn't something like, oh, like, why are there so many gay people now? I'm just like, because it's a little bit safer to be out now than it was back then. That's why. And, like, guarantee that every person has either somebody they know that is queer, or if they think they don't, they're closeted. Or they know someone who knows someone. Like, that's just, there's someone gay in your life right now, in your closet. No. But, like, that's just how it was. And how close are they? Like, they were in American history. They've always been there. So,
yeah.
I really did enjoy this. I thought it was very well made. It was very well drawn. And I'm usually like fuck American history or whatever. Let's focus on the more personal histories and stuff like that. But I think this one was really, really good because it's a counter narrative. It's not feeding into the main narrative. It's telling us about someone who had a very important position and who was also queer, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed how, like, in the beginning he was like openly living his life until like he was kind of like what is it called, he was expelled from Germany.
I can't believe it, but like the fact that he was kicked out of an entire country for basically being gay was just like mind-blowing to me.
And, like, how do you get word that fast around to, like, the entire country that they're like, hey, you can't, like, host this guy because he's a homosexual.
And the cool thing was they made a mention that he was living his homosexual life before the term even existed. I thought that was so interesting.
And openly, in a time when sodomy laws existed. Mm-hmm. I mean, some sodomy laws are still in existence in other countries and in certain parts of the U.S. But, you know, it's even more incredible in a time where it was kind of like a universal thing.
I like how they make reference that in today German Americans celebrate Von Steuben's Day every September, but they kind of brush under the fact that he was gay. Mm. So they just kind of celebrate him as a German immigrant, I guess, and his accomplishments. But I thought this was really just wonderful. I actually, when I read it, I felt like it could be all ages. Mm-hmm. Like if you're being raised in an open household, I think it can be all ages, but definitely young adult for sure.
Yeah.
And I think if you have that kind of relationship with like a young adolescent kid who wants to read comic books and maybe, you know, wants to live their truth but is having difficulty, I think this is a great book to share with them, definitely.
Well, what I want to read is one of the pages is an illustration of a whole bunch of naked men standing around drinking wine. And the description basically says, rumors about Von Steuben's quote-unquote tastes were common knowledge and reported in the American press. I want to read those reports. I want to read what they said back then. I want to read I picture it like, you know, in Bridgerton, how the little gossip was, you know, yes, out telling the stories and this. I mean, and even in Bridgerton, there was an underground place where the men would go to have sex together. Well, it's actually just people having sex, period. But a lot of men went there to have sex with each other. So I want to read these stories. Like, I'm sure that they're somewhere accessible on microfiche in the bowels of the libraries. But it says, one story claimed that Von Steuben loved to host cocktail nights for his favorite cadets. No clothing allowed.
I would like to see how these old-timey press would have reported that. Yeah. And it's so funny to me because even with the tabloids of the time, and they were reporting it, everybody was just, I pretend I do not see mm-hmm. to the whole situation because they needed generals.
Right, yeah. And he didn't even speak English. That's the most amazing thing to me about the fact that he was promoted to be a general by George Washington. In the military, he was basically training soldiers how to survive and how to set up camp, maintain supply lines, avoid diseases, like all this stuff. And he didn't even speak English. So I thought that that was just like super interesting, like the skills that he must have shown and just the type of soldier that he was, that for him to not even speak the language, he was promoted so quickly and so high up in the ranks.
Yeah, in the blue book they use for training, that manual that was taught to American soldiers was used for almost over a century.
Yeah, I read that and I was like, dang, that's a long time. Like the stuff that was in there must have really translated across years and years that they continue to use it.
Absolutely. And stuff like this, I guess, happens everywhere. I mean, I remember watching a movie called The Dance of the 41, which is a story about like the end of the 19th century when Ignacio de la Torre, a man who married the daughter of a Mexican president, Porfirio Diaz, led a double life. And he was a part of a clandestine society. And The Dance of the 41 is basically like 41 men who kind of got together to be themselves. And that's on Netflix if you want to watch it.
41 person orgy. Nice. That's basically what you're telling me.
That's the quote unquote dance part.
Yeah.
But actually, I remember watching it, and the ending is terribly sad. But, you know, these people existed all throughout history. And for people to say, why are there so many gay people now, just doesn't know and should pick up a book or something. But I think they're doing a great job in actually presenting this to readers. And especially now that there's going to be a thicker version of this story, I'm really excited for. So are we ready to rate it?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to go first. This is Sarah. And I'm going to give it tres conchas. Tres conchas is because I truly, absolutely love it. And I would love like young adults to read this. I think this is amazing. But I am giving it Tres Conchas because I know that there's a bigger version of this coming out. And I just can't wait to read that.
So this is Kristen. I, for the same reasons, am going to give it 3 conchas. And just as a reminder, our rating scale is from 1 to 3, 3 being the most conchas that Jen's mom ever let her eat in one sitting. So that was the best. So I am giving it the best. I'm giving it 3 conchas. And just wanted to highlight that Josh and Levi actually... together explore the intersection of queer and American history, just the way that they did in this comic and in the bigger comic. And so that really is interesting to me. And additionally, they have a comic about Revolutionary War romance called Declaration. Ooh. So it's a Revolutionary War romance comic called Declaration. So that actually sounds pretty interesting to me and now makes me want to continue to read more about the intersection of queer people and American history, because just like you guys said, they've always been here.
I want to make it even, so I'm gonna give it 3 conchas as well, but I'm expecting the big book to blow me away. Maybe not blow me like he got blown, but you know. Anyways, I'm also going to give it 3 conchas because it was really good and I really enjoyed it. And I think it is pretty good, like YA friendly, and it's relevant. So 3 conchas for me as well.
Definitely relevant, because I just wanted, before we end it, wanted to mention in the back, the very last page, it says, we need to recognize the contributions of LGBTQ servicemen and women when honoring our troops, especially those who even today are afraid to serve their country openly.
Yeah. And that was just a beautiful closing to that book. All right, guys, now it's time for En la Librería. Jen, what do you have for us today?
So today we have Cobra Olympus issue number 1, Battle of the Blood Golem. So this is a comic book about a transgender Muslim superhero fighting a creature known only as a blood golem. And it is currently, it's not launched yet. It will launch in June, but you can go on to Kickstarter and click on notify me on launch to figure out when it is coming out. It is being created by Bijan Valibiegi. I hope I said that right, who is from Seattle, Washington, but it is being like printed by an Uruguayan studio, and it's going to be coming out in Spanish and English as well. So it's exciting. The art, the little like snippet of the art looks like really cute in like kind of a really cute, almost like in a kind of like 80s aesthetic kind of way. Mm-hmm. Like when I look at it, I think I almost kind of think like He-Man or She-Ra.
Oh, yeah.
When I'm looking at the artwork, because that's what it kind of reminds me of. And so, I mean, the reason how we found it is we were messaged about it and it piqued my interest enough that I was just like, you know what? Yeah, I want people to know about this because I think it's interesting.
Transgender Muslim superheroes definitely sounds interesting to me. And, knowing a little bit more about how Kickstarter works, because Eddie has run a few successful Kickstarters, when a project is on pre-launch, it is super important for them to get notification out to people, get it on people's radar, and get them clicking that notify me on launch button, because it actually helps promote them once they do go live and actually increases their chances of becoming a project we love, which really launches that project up to high visibility. And really makes it possible for them to get fully funded. So definitely, even though it's not launching until June, go ahead and click on that link that we're going to share in our links here for this particular episode, and click that notify me button, because the fact that they're even going to be doing this in both English and Spanish is like really awesome. A lot of books wait until they do it just in English and then try to raise money with that to do it again. So the fact that they're doing it from the get-go of this book is really cool.
Very, very awesome. Very ambitious. And I hope that they get all the success because I want to see this launched. So it is Cobra Olympus issue number one, Battle of the Blood Golem on Kickstarter.
All right, guys, it's now time for Juntos y Fuertes. Kristen, what do you have for us today?
So I'm going to piggyback off of Jen's En La Libreria and talk to you about Jamheed Studios, which is the studio from Uruguay that she talked about that is producing the transgender Muslim superhero book that she just spoke about. And so Jamheed Studios is an artistic collective of LGBTQ plus people who enjoy creating stories, worlds, and characters that reflect not only their values, but also the human experience through every form of art. In their unique model, patrons fund their projects through the creation process, while the creators retain the ownership of those projects. Because Jamheed Studios is completely not-for-profit, it can empower your favorite artists in new and innovative ways. And so I am sharing with you the fact that they actually have a Patreon. So you can go to Patreon and look up Jamheed Studios, and that's Jamheed Studios. And you can, underneath, not only are they creating comics, but they create games, music, and more.
Wow.
So for $1 a month, you can support them and receive monthly newsletters from them with updates on their projects. For $10 a month, you can have the benefit of the previous tier, and then also get a credit as a producer in their future projects and any early access to alpha and beta versions of their projects. And that's just for $10 a month. And then if you wanted to go higher, you can do $100 a month, and you'll have all the benefits of the tiers for that, plus you can be a canon character in their future projects.
Wow.
I want to do that.
Wow.
You will be introduced as a canon character in their future comics, video games, board games, and books, working with them in the creative process of said character. Isn't that cool?
That is really
cool.
Man,
if I was rich.
I know, right? So that is Jamheed Studios, and you can find them on Patreon, and you know, what better to do with your money than support the arts?
Absolutely. All right, guys, now it's time for saludos. And today we are saludando a Josh Trujillo. We met him, like Kristen said, we met him at WonderCon 2023. And he told us all about the wonderful book he's currently writing, which is Blue Beetle Graduation Day. And I think there's 4 issues out right now.
Mm-hmm, and it's a 5-issue miniseries.
And also, I think, okay, don't quote me on this, but the Blue Beetle movie that's coming out has some things of the Blue Beetle Graduation Day storyline. So I'm really excited that some of the storyline is inspired by Josh Trujillo's work. And just meeting him was really amazing. I love this little Blue Beetle pin that he had pinned on him. He told us some great stuff that we can't talk about now, but maybe in the future for future chisme. But Josh Trujillo, he is also known for works in Adventure Time, Captain America, and Rick and Morty. So I mean, just such a great person to talk to, writer of Washington's Gay General, working on the bigger version of that. So it's just such a pleasure to talk to him. So saludos goes out to him. And I really, really enjoyed reading your book. And I actually bought the Blue Beetle Graduation in Spanish. So I'm very excited about reading it in Spanish and Espanol. And also, I really enjoyed the conversation we had about how his comic got translated. There was like a big process to go from like his kind of like sort of Spanish to like an actual Spanish speaking translator to the actual person who actually lettered the Spanish dialogue. So, I mean, hats off to you for taking that on, to creating a book both in English and Spanish. So saludos goes out to Josh Trujillo. And if you want to follow him on Instagram, his Instagram is Los This Keys Man. And that's LOSTHISKEYSMAN. But we will also put that in our outline of this episode, so you could just click control copy and then control paste on Instagram.
So you pronounce it as Lost This Keys Man, but I think it's actually Lost His Keys Man.
Wow, look at that. My brain was in Spanish. I don't know why.
Wow, incredible.
And he also has a website, which is just joshtrujillo.com.
Yes.
Oh, look at that.
Keep an eye out for Washington's Gay General. It comes out August 22nd via Abrams. And on August 1st, his collection of Blue Beetle Graduation Day will be coming out as a graphic novel as well.
All right, guys, that brings us to the end of this episode. Where can they find us? Anything and everything is on our...
our website. Yay! At www.comadasecomics.com. And yes, you can find everything and anything, even what size chonies Jen wears.
Ma'am!
I didn't see that on the website.
That's private intel. They gotta pay up for that info. You can't just be handing it out for free.
Oh, darn, I gotta take it down.
No, exclusive asset. Asset of the website. You gotta pay, donate, get our underwear sizes.
Donation, yes. I learned that on the TikTok. Yeah, you call it a donation.
Yeah, there you go. Donate $5.
So you can't say pay me, bitch. It has to be donation.
Right.
Got it. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that brings us to the end of this episode. We have been your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
And that's on Period Network.